And we drop down and look at verse 13 and 14. It says this. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. Man, I love this. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Come on now. This marked a whole new beginning. Listen, David was coming now into his own. It says, then Samuel returned to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. Boy, this is interesting. Here's point number three. Understand that God's timing is strategic. When God is telling you and God is telling me to go, that's not time to start thinking about it. That's not even time to start praying about it. That's time to go. Now, there may be a process of how you go. Watch this. Like what we've been dealing with of knowing how to seek some counsel from your leadership, knowing how to have some safeguards there. But you ought to get active the moment you hear that go from Almighty God. God's timing is very strategic. Here it is, a case where God had a covenant with Israel to take care of them and to make sure that now, in this case, they were being led. But God had a problem. He had someone that wouldn't listen to him. He had someone that wouldn't submit to him. He had someone that wanted to do things his way. And God says, I have to get rid of this individual. So there is a grace. Watch this. There was a grace and an anointing to be able to lead the children of Israel. God says, I'm not going to remove that grace off of this person until I have another person that I can put it on. See, there is a grace and there's anointing for you as a husband to lead your family. There's a grace and an anointing for you as a wife, you know, as a woman, watch this, to serve, you know, your family. There's a grace and anointing upon me, you know, to pastor. And God has a commitment where he's saying this, I will make sure that that anointing is always present so it can do what it does. Now, what does the anointing do? Just in case you forgot, it always removes the burdens and it always destroys the yokes. Come on now, it brings you over into a place, you know, of newness. It empowers you to do what you couldn't do in and of yourself. That's what the anointing does. And now here, God is making it clear that my timing is strategic. Saul, the anointing doesn't leave Saul. Watch this. Saul is still anointed by God, even though he's a mess. Now, that's good news for some, maybe not the best news for others. Good news is this, even in your mess and my mess, God's anointing can still rest there. But the downside to the case here with Saul is that because he wouldn't repent, then God says, I got to remove my anointing from off your life. See, so God's anointing is not based upon your perfection. Catch a hold of that. It's not based upon your perfection. It was there for Saul. All Saul had to do was repent. If you remember with David, David had his own shortcomings as well, but he learned how to repent. Yeah, this is a case where God's timing is strategic. When that anointing gets removed from Saul, it's not until God says, I can put my anointing upon someone else. God is always going to make sure his plan comes to pass. Then we see here further down, actually over in chapter 17, says, then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. This is not a story. This is not an exaggeration. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. Come on now, we're talking about his armor. He also wore bronze leg armor and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. And then you keep reading, you'll see he had an armor bearer who carried his shield that went in front of him. This is a mountain of a man. And he is the Philistine, you know, champion. He's their military champion. And now, earlier in the chapter, if you back up and read it, the Philistine army comes out against Israel. Israel's army come out and they, you know, they're ready, you know, to confront each other. But that's when their champion, Goliath, steps forward and says, hey, tell you what, we don't even have to go through all this unnecessary bloodshed. You send out to me your best, you know, fighter, and whichever one of us wins, then that will be the nation who's won. So now if your fighter defeats me, you know, Goliath says, then the Philistines will become Israel's servants. But if I win, then Israel is going to become my servants. Man, Israel got so scared it wasn't funny. They start backing up in a hurry because, I mean, they're looking at, watch this, they're looking at the size. Hey, catch this now. Don't pay attention to what it looks like. What it looks like has no bearing on what God has said. None whatsoever. So this happens, interesting enough, right after David is anointed. David is anointed just in time for this problem that shows up. See, watch this. I believe that God's, you know, hand is kind of holding certain things back timing-wise so that this problem didn't show up until he had someone that was going to flow in his anointing. Because Saul wasn't going to do anything. And God knew that. God says, you know what, I see what's coming, so I got to make sure that there is provision there for my people. So here's the third point. If you want to come into your own, you have to understand this. You are anointed to conquer a problem. You are anointed to conquer a problem. So the problem should not rattle you. The problem should not stress you out. Your mindset and attitude has to shift into the champion mindset that I'm anointed to conquer this problem. This is what, you know, NBA players and so forth, you know, understand. This is what Steph Curry, you know, understands, that the whole defensive structure is set up to be able to shut me down. He says, but what's on me is designed to conquer that. So regardless of what double teams they throw at him, triple teams and so forth, here it is. He still wind up averaging over 30, you know, something points a game. The anointing upon your life is there to conquer a problem. So when problems start to show up, that's not a time to run. That's a time, watch this, to allow your anointing to get engaged. So right now, we're looking at time. You hear different reports in the news that, you know, we may be going into a recession and, you know, this could be like 2008, so on and so forth. Listen, that's a problem. But watch this. There is an anointing upon you. You are a champion from Almighty God, and your championhood and that anointing is designed to defeat problems just like a recession. So just because a recession may come or may not come, that does not mean you have to participate. You want to back up, stay in on God's economy and says, you know what? I trust his anointing. With me in my house, it is well. With me in my house, we serve the Lord. And with me in my house, it is well. Praise God. That has to be the attitude and mindset you have if you're going to come into your own. See, coming into your own has a huge part about what you think. God's designed you a certain way. You have to cultivate his thoughts in your mind and become what he has said about you. You are anointed to conquer a problem. So watch this. When you understand that, then that means things don't necessarily get easier. Things may, quite frankly, become more challenging. But that's okay, because there's an anointing upon you as a champion to conquer the problem. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't even understand, you know, what my anointing is, you know, what problems that I am designed, you know, to conquer. Well, watch this. If there's certain things that keep coming up against you, you know, consistently, that may be a good indicator that there's an anointing in your life to be able to deal with that, but you just haven't activated it yet. You haven't gotten over to the place to say, you know what, I can deal with this debt. You know what, I can deal, you know, with, you know, my family, you know, issues that may have been going on for generations. I can turn all that around. Yes, you can, because you are a champion. Come on, say it with me. I'm a champion. Absolutely. You are a champion. So here's three things to lock in on this. Number one, don't get frustrated when they don't share your confidence. David had a confidence going into this whole situation with Goliath that blew everybody's mind, including the king. But why? Why was everybody else scared and David wasn't? Because they didn't have the anointing of God upon them. They weren't designed, you know, the way God was designed. So just because people don't share the same confidence that you have, you know, in a situation that you may be trying to tackle, don't look down upon them. They just don't necessarily have that anointing that you have. And your mindset ought to be, this is why I'm here. I'm not only here for me. I'm here to lift everybody, you know, that's connected with me. That's what the anointing of God is there for. Number two is don't avoid fights. When I say fights, obviously I'm not talking about, you know, physical confrontations, but I'm talking about a sense of having to fight with your faith, having to fight, watch this, to overcome certain things. Don't avoid it. Why? Because you are anointed to conquer a problem. Allow the anointing God has given you to work and grow. That's what you want to do. It can't work and it can't grow if you run and hide from problems. Don't avoid the problems. Take them on. And be willing to listen to God's voice in how to deal with it. Thirdly is this, please don't be forgotten. Come on, everyone wants to have a meaningful life. No one wants to be just simply forgotten as if you never existed on the planet. Always remember this, you'll never be known for anything if you sit back and conquer nothing. You'll never be known for anything if you just sit back and refuse to try to conquer anything. Get out there. And you might fail once. You might fail twice. You might fail the third time. But I guarantee you this, if you keep getting up and keep, you know, going after it, you will break through. And it's those who win, the champions, that everyone remembers. Come on, we all remember now. We know Serena. We know Rafael Nadal. We know Steph Curry. We know LeBron James. Come on, we know Michael Jordan. And some of you all listening, many listen to me, you've never even seen him play. But you know, you heard the legends about his championhood. Don't be forgotten. Greater is he that's in you than anything else that's in this world. Let me give you number five. And that's simply this. If you're going to come into your own, don't be anxious. Wait to be commissioned. Don't be anxious. Wait to be commissioned, sent out. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14 to 15, it says this. David was the youngest son. David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. So when everything's going on, David stays under authority. David doesn't just jump out there and be like, you know what? Didn't y'all hear what the prophet said? That I'm now the next king. I have God's anointing upon me. I'm going out here and do my thing. No. David goes back out with the sheep. He's continued to protect them. His father has given him instruction and David is submitting there. And now when this battle and confrontation comes up with the Philistines and Goliath shows up, David is still in this place of not being anxious. He's just listening, watch this, to his earthly father. And his father says, you know what? I want you to take some food up to your brothers that are out there, you know, fighting in the battle. And David says, okay, I'll do it. He's going back and forth based upon his father's instruction. And then one time when he's there, he hears Goliath shooting off at the mouth. And watch this, that anointing began to percolate. That David's like, who in the world is this that's talking so disrespectfully about my God? You want to defy, you know, the God of Israel? Who is this? That's David. Everyone else is scared. See, when something begins to push your button, watch this, starts to touch your anointing, it's going to wake you up. It's going to arouse you. And David is just like, oh, no, this is not going to happen. But notice the process, though, that in this, he didn't get anxious. He stayed to the place where he would be commissioned and sent out there, you know, to the army, sent out there to be with his brothers. Stay faithful in the present assignment until the ones that God has put in authority over your life, watch this, commission and send you out. See, this is an element in Christianity and just in our culture today that a lot of times individuals want to resist because it says I'm not in complete control. It says that somebody else, watch this, is controlling me. Well, it's not control. It's not, again, it's there for our protection so that we don't unnecessarily hurt ourselves. I know I got some individuals out there that can attest, just like I can attest, that you've hurt yourself unnecessarily sometimes. If I just would have asked, if I just would have sought some counsel, or watch this, if I just would have listened to the counsel that I did get, I wouldn't have to deal with this. I wouldn't have to deal with that. Somebody else know exactly what I'm talking about. So don't be anxious. Wait to be commissioned. Number six is this. Care for God's plan first, and the rewards will follow. See, as a champion, a lot of times people want to be champions. Come on, let's just talk, because we want the rewards. People want the rewards. Come on, people want the parades and want to be out there on the bus. You know, people want, you know, the big checks, and people want the trophies, and people want all the accolades that come with being the champion. And okay, that's fine. But in God's kingdom, in his system, God has this mindset of, listen, follow my plan and those rewards will come your way. Don't seek after the rewards. Follow what I'm instructing for you to do. Allow the anointing I've placed on your life to do what it's supposed to do, and you'll find that the rewards will run you down. You know, one of my favorite songs, and I love to hear, you know, C.C. Wine is, you know, singing, just talking about the goodness, you know, of the Lord. You know, all my life you've been faithful. And then, you know, part of the refrain later in the song is, your goodness is running after. It's running after me, praise God. Listen, when we take care of God's business first, God's goodness will be hot on our heels. And I get it. Sometimes you may be doing the things that God is instructing for you to do, doing the things that you know before God that you should do, and you feel like, where's the goodness? Where's the goodness? And I want to encourage your heart on today. Don't be anxious and run off, because that goodness is hot on your heels. You may not see it right now, but you're going to look up and a sudden good break is going to turn your life around as you stay where you're supposed to be. Don't be anxious. Wait until you are commissioned. And then as we start talking about here, care for God's plan first, and the rewards will follow. So notice here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25 says, have you seen the giant? David's talking, where the men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Come on, that's a good deal right there. Here it is now. Whoever does this is going to get, you know, one of the king's daughters, and you don't have to pay taxes. Come on, you and your whole family. That was a great deal. That was the reward that was out there. But let's be clear. That's not the motivation in David's heart. The motivation in David's heart was this. You cannot defy, you know, the armies of the Lord, you know, our God. You cannot be disrespectful, you know, to Almighty God. And has David now yielded to this, and then dealt with God's plan first, oh yeah, the rewards did come his way. You keep reading, you know, later on. Let me give you two more. Can you take two more? Good. I'm going to give them to you. Here. Let's look at this here in, chapter 17, verse 34 to 37. But David persisted, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from his mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, plural. And I'll do it to this pagan Philistine, too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Okay, here we go. If you're going to come into your own, understand this. The size of the problem has no bearing on God's ability in your life. None whatsoever. David is trying to convince the Israeli army and the king, let me go deal with this giant. And everybody's looking at him like, you're too young. I mean, you're a teenager. He's like, Goliath has been a warrior since he was a teenager. You can't do anything with this. And David begins to recount God's faithfulness and goodness in his life. And watch this. And expressions of God's anointing in his life before. He says, you know, when I'm taking care of these sheep, a lion, a bear, you know, comes up. I don't run. I don't try to get the sheep out of the way. I go in there and I catch that lion, you know, by you know, the nap, you know, of his, you know, kind of chin. And if it turns on me, I will club it to death. He says, This has happened on more than one occasion. It says, I've done it to lions and I've done it to bears. And this Philistine will be no different. What is he saying? I've done it to things this size. He says, but even with this thing this size that's like over 9 feet tall, it'll be the same way. Why? Because God's ability is not affected by the size of the problem. God's anointing could care less. As a matter of fact, God's anointing probably even gets even a little bit more enraged and inflamed when it looks like to everybody else, this is a huge, huge problem. That's when God's anointing wants to kick in. So never get distracted by how big something looks. Listen, if a problem looks big to you, you have to change your perspective. You're looking at the wrong thing. Where you have to adjust to is to come to the place and say, you know what? My God is far too big than this problem that is facing me. See, when we say that the problem is too big, it's just giving evidence to what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the problem. But see, when you shift your focus and you focus on the one that you're in covenant with, the one who's giving you the anointing, now all of a sudden it's not the problem's too big. It's that, no, my God's too big for this problem. And this thing has to go down just like it went down for me before. Come on now. I know God's been faithful in your life. I know that you can look up and attest to some things. Man, if it hadn't been for God, I don't know what would have happened, how I would have gotten through this. I don't know how that would have gotten paid. I don't know how I would have survived this. Come on now. If he's done it for you before, you can take it to the bank. He's committed to do it again. That's the kind of conviction that David had. And he understood it doesn't matter what it looks like. So watch this. You get a diagnosis that people say, oh, well, that's uncurable. Don't you shirk back in fear. Don't you back up then like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And some people do that. They start preparing to die. No, you get ready to live your best life. That's what you want to do. Come on, we just came off really now a pandemic, and especially that first year, you know, someone got a diagnosis of COVID-19 and people were in a panic because, we all lost some people in that. You don't start to prepare to die. I know last year in May of 2021, I tested positive, for COVID, 19. I wasn't preparing to die. I wasn't oh, my goodness, what's going to happen here, so forth. I had some different symptoms, and I'm just now fighting with the word of God. Come on now, because God's anointing is far bigger than COVID. It's far bigger than cancer. It's far bigger than anything that you can name. And if those things seem too big to you, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're focused on the wrong one. Focus on the Lord God, your healer. That's what David understood. The size of the problem has no bearing whatsoever on God's ability. One more. You and I said this earlier, are champions by design, not by task. So don't think, or don't wait to feel like a champion when you are doing something that you feel like everybody, thinks is significant. You're a champion right there where you are. David was a champion out there with those sheep when everybody forgot about him. Nobody was thinking about him. He was a champion then because he was designed that way by God. You're a champion right now. And you might be, the lowest person on your job right now. You're making, just enough, to kind of get by. And maybe everybody's not thinking much of you. But God says, you're my champion. And I've put an anointing upon you. So recognize the design that I have created in your life. So regardless of what everyone else may think about you, don't you ever forget what I think about you. And that is, you are my champion. Come on, say it with me. I'm God's champion. I better believe it. I am God's champion. Almighty God loves me and has anointed me and you to be a champion out here. You're a champion by design, not by task, not by duty, not by the things that you do. So we're in with this particular verse right here in Romans chapter 8. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, come on, all these things, come on, the nakedness, the distress, the tribulation, persecution, the famine, the peril, the sword, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Come on. Everything that hell could bring up against you, God says, I've designed you to be more than a conqueror above it. So regardless of what's coming up against you right now, here in the middle of 2022, you want to have the mindset of, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're a conqueror plus, praise God. Come on. You're the champion. That's the attitude you have to have. You got to accept your design. Come on, accept it. It's a part of your DNA. It's running through your spiritual system. You are a champion. Come on, say it with me. I'm a champion. Come on, find somebody in the house with you and tell them, say, you're a champion. Come on, look at the kids around you. Say, you better believe you all are champions, praise God. You are designed that way by Almighty God. So if you're going to come into your own, you got to embrace these truths. Embrace these truths. I would encourage you to listen to this over again. Get it deep into your spirit, because there's some things that's coming up. It's coming up against you. But don't be afraid. God's already graced you. There's already an anointing there. And if you activate it, and if you yield to it, if you stay in faith, you will see it do some things that will blow your mind. And the glory not coming to you. We give all the glory to Almighty God. So, Father, we thank you for the design that you have made us. You made us champions just like you. Help us, Daddy, to embrace your truth on today, that we renew our minds every single day in this way, to recognize, Daddy, that you've anointed us, and that anointing is there to conquer a problem. You've made us more than conquerors, and we embrace that, sir. So help us in our understanding. And help us to share it with others, Father, so they too can catch the life that you have ordained for all of us. We love you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, praise God. Now keep doing this with me. Bow your heads with me right there where you are. Listen, if you are going to walk in your champion status, you have to come to a place once and for all to surrender to Almighty God. Surrender. I didn't say you had to be perfect, but surrender. Come on now. It's God that kind of drew you to being able to watch this on tonight so he could speak some things to your heart. Well, here's an opportunity for you to respond. Respond, watch this, in a sense of faith and obedience, like David. Don't respond like Saul, who then just went off to do his own thing. Come on now. Embrace what God has for you. He loves you. So that's you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my King. I want to introduce you to the champion maker. Come on now, so you can be in relationship with him. It's not religion. We're just talking about a relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or secondly, second invitation is this. Maybe you've gotten off track. Come on, we've been there. I've been there before. You've gotten off track. You kind of fell over into a Saul moment where you start doing things the way you thought it should be done. Saul got into a predicament where he felt like, I need to make sure the people are happy. And in trying to make the people happy, he was disobeying God. Listen, we're not going to throw any stones at Saul. We've all missed it in some way, some fashion in our life. But I got news for you. You can come on back home. You can come on back home. That's the lesson that David understood when he had jacked it up and he had messed it up royally. David understood how to repent. And God says now, yeah, you're still a man after my own heart. This wasn't based upon David being perfect. As a matter of fact, it was based upon and had much to do with the fact that David was imperfect, but he knew how to still yield to the perfect God. You can do the same thing. So if you've missed it, you've been off, come on back. Come on, repent from that old stuff. Come on and embrace the new today. So there's two invitations out there. Number one, you want to surrender all. Come in relationship with Almighty God. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Or number two, you want to simply rededicate your life. Make a fresh start on today. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you as well. Here's what I want to ask, you know, first. I want everyone that desires me to pray for them, and you're in agreement with this, to lift up your hand right there where you are. Come on. So you want me to pray for you? Come on. You want to, you know, surrender all? You want to make a fresh start? Come on. Come on. Lift it up right there where you are. Come on. If you're home alone, can't nobody see you. It's just between you and God right now. If somebody else is in the room, tell them to be quiet. I'm working on something with God. Come on. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Now, here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to be sure to type into the chat you know, the word decided, or you can just text it. You can pick up your phone and just text it to the number that's coming up on the screen. And we're going to, one, rejoice with you, two, pray for you, and three, we're going to send you a link to a devotional so that it can encourage your faith and help you in your champion status. Man, I'm telling you, God's got great things in store for you. Are you ready for it? Say yes. Absolutely. Now we're going to do this as the last thing. Lift up holy hands with me. And let's be in agreement now in prayer. Say this out loud with me. Father, I thank you so much for giving to me your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Lord Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my king, as my everything. Thank you for making me your own. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And furthermore, Father, I want to pray for those that are rededicating their lives, committing to a fresh start on today. Thank you, Father, for awakening that anointing on their lives. Father, bringing them back to the place of understanding, yeah, I am a champion. So, Father, we thank you that your forgiveness has already been there for them. May they be encouraged to know that your mercy and your grace, it never fails, and your grace is sufficient. So, Father, my prayer is that they are strengthened with might by your spirit in their inner man, their inner woman, and they run out and do everything that you've called for them to do. And when the fight shows up, they'll let their anointing get engaged. We thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Come on, somebody rejoice with me right there for a moment. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We worship you. We magnify you, and we thank you. You are so, so good unto us. Listen, walk out your champion status. Come into your own. Don't you wait another day. Come into your own right now, because God's anointing and grace is upon you.